well, well. Shopping for a car?
Yep. Carvana made financing a car as smooth as can be.
Oh, yeah?
I got pre-qualified instantly and had real terms personalized just for me.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
Well, I got to browse thousands of car options on Carvana, all within my budget.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
It does. I actually wanted a car that seemed out of my range, but I was able to add a cosigner and found my dream car.
It doesn't get much...
Oh, it gets smoother. It's getting delivered tomorrow.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get pre-qualified today.
Cat lovers, listen up. Meet Felix, the pet insurance brand made just for cats. Our cats don't really have nine lives, but a lot can happen in the one they do. Felix's whisker-to-tail protection covers accidents, illness, emergency care, exam fees, and so much more. Visit FelixCatInsurance.com to learn more about their customizable coverage for felines. Sorry, no dogs allowed. That's FelixCatInsurance.com. Get it, meow.
Insurance is underwritten by Independence American Insurance Company and produced by Independence Pet Group. Pre-existing conditions are not covered. Visit FelixCatInsurance.com/terms for all terms and limitations.
As we round into Thanksgiving week, I am already smiling and grateful for the number of posts I've seen just in the first hour of our show. Many of you writing in with the reasons you have to be thankful. And as bad as life can get, and it can be at times disappointing, devastating, dejecting, discouraging. There are always reasons to be thankful, always, as I found. I think that resonates with me the older I get, because when you get older, one of the things that starts happening is you lose people. And not that that is exclusive to being older, but it is one of the conditions of humans who are around on the planet for a long time. We start to lose people because we have parents or grandparents, or we have loved ones, friends who lose people that they love. And while I celebrate victories like our friend John Kincaid ringing the bell on Friday after he finished treatment for cancer and has been declared cancer-free after being diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer, the man is cancer-free. What an incredible miracle and answer to prayer. There are also reasons for sorrow and sadness. And I know the holidays are tough because we are missing people that we love, or we're not with people that we love. In general, holidays tend to exacerbate and at times just remind us of what we're missing. And so I know it can be a joyful time of the year, but it can also be really hard when we're separated across the miles, or again, we're missing people. And so I just am reminded every day of how precious life is and also how fleeting life can be, and to not take it for granted. And I am not suggesting that every young person doesn't come to grips with that, but I know in my own life, it took getting older, it took losing people, it took just living a few decades and recognizing how tough life can be at times. But I still maintain that there are always reasons to be thankful. And so I'm asking you what you're thankful for in 2023. People have asked me this question over the last week. I'm close to finishing up a blog post that I'll release before Thanksgiving, because I am a firm believer that we can always find reasons to be thankful. And one of those reasons, as a sneak peek, and I do mean peek, if you check out our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, my Twitter, A-Law Radio, is where it originated. And I will also put up the post on our Facebook page. I didn't have a chance over the weekend because I was traveling. But one reason I have to be very thankful this year and for the last 11 Thanksgivings is because of my girl, Penny. She is now 14 and fabulous. And while she normally gives me her butt for photos, I don't generally get a lot of face photos because she always knows when I'm pointing the camera at her or the phone at her, she generally tends to turn her head. Even when we're on the beach and we're trying to take beach selfies, oh, I've never laughed so hard as trying to take selfies with my dog on the beach. Anyway, my dog sitter over the weekend managed to snap a really sweet photo of Penn. So if you, and she really doesn't look 14. She doesn't have a ton of gray hair. She has some under her chin, but it's not a lot. So check out my Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then we'll put that post up on Facebook as well, because that's one reason I have to be thankful. Honestly, never thought that I would still have her at 14, but the girl is still chugging along. And if you check out my Twitter, over Halloween, I snapped a photo of her. She was certain that there were two black cats in a yard near us that were just taunting her. They were, why were they so bold as to sit right in the middle of the yard and taunt her? You need to check out the photo. It's pretty funny. So I hope you had a good weekend making your preparations for Thanksgiving, whether you are traveling, whether you are hosting, whether you are cooking or baking, or whether you are going out. It's a massive humanity that's on the move this week. And one of the reasons why I like working around the holidays. Now, I won't be working the end of this week, but I will be working tomorrow night. I changed my travel plans a little bit. So tomorrow night into Tuesday. But one of the reasons I love doing that is because we always have people who are out of their regular routines, whether it's vacations or commuting to a holiday celebration or just in general, because they're not working or because they're out of their routines, they're staying up later, they're getting up earlier. So we're happy to have you with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too. And our phone number is the same, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. The game that you all picked as the After Hours game of the week, by far, I think it was nearly 70% of you were picking the Super Bowl rematch, which will take place in Kansas City in mere hours. That is Chiefs hosting the Eagles. And I'm looking forward to it, though. As Brandon Cristall said last hour, it does not make up for a Super Bowl loss, because it does not. The stage is not the same. And of course, being in Arrowhead in Kansas City is far different than being on a neutral field. And I don't generally think the odds are in favor of the same two teams matching up in a Super Bowl 2 years in a row. We're not talking about the NBA Finals, right? Or we had Cavaliers and Warriors 4 years in a row. It would be extraordinary if both the Eagles and the Chiefs got back to the Super Bowl in early 24 in Las Vegas. But what I do know is that they are two of the best teams in the NFL. So if for that reason only, forget whether or not it's the Super Bowl rematch, but for that reason only, we're hoping that we can get a game that is worthy of all of the hype. So that was your choice. Be here Monday night to talk about that game. But the second pick for game of the week, Steelers and Browns. And this despite the fact that we got the bombshell during the week that Deshaun Watson had been lost for the season because he's got a broken bone in his shoulder. Now, he was there on the sidelines. If you didn't know that he was injured, you'd have no clue. Of course, he's wearing, other than the fact that he's not dressed for football, but wearing his, he doesn't like the cold. So wearing his knit hat and a hoodie over on top of that. And he's cheering on DTR, the rookie, Dorian Thompson Robinson, who was getting his second start. But as we talked about with Mary Kay Cabot late last week, that was the start in which he was thrown into the fire with 2 hours before he found out that he would be getting the nod in a game in week number 4. So this completely different. So DTR, not DVR or VCR, as you might be tempted to call him. Get it right, please. This game has a rookie quarterback, a second-year guy in Kenny Pickett. So understandably, especially in the AFC North with Pittsburgh and Cleveland, you're going to have the defenses who set the tone. And they did exactly that. Both defenses rising to the occasion in what is a knockdown, drag-out division. Or I guess I've heard it referred to as the black and blue division, because you do not come away unscathed. You have to get into the battle, and you have scars to prove it. One of the things, and this is actually funny, because Boomer Esiason, our friend on NFL Today and our New York affiliate, he pointed out that there were a lot of third and longs in this game. There was nothing easy for the offense in this clash. A lot of third and long, a lot of struggles for yards. There were 17 total punts. So not for the faint of heart. Neither team was over 300 total yards offensively, and just one turnover. So you're talking about snap, 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 punt. Snap, 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 punt. Oh, maybe we get a first down. Snap, 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 snap.
punt.
Yeah, it was not a game in which you could see a ton of offense. So it was much more typical of what I think about the AFC North. Cleveland's only touchdown drive was a short field because of a three and out by the Steelers. So they only have to go on a 50-yard march. But if you need some points, well, then you turn to your run game.
In the backfield, Nick Karras axes the fullback, Ford the tailback, DTR on third and goal, turns, gives, Ford runs right side, he plows, he's fighting, he is not in, they say. Right at the goal line, and it's fourth down. I have good news, Cleveland. It is a touchdown. Jerome Ford on review. He got the ball across, and it is 6-0 Browns, so they don't have to go for it on fourth down. They're kicking an extra point. We were wondering about the challenge. Thumbs up.
Welcome back to Jim Donovan on Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Good to hear his voice, those unmistakable pipes. Yes, the Jerome Ford one-yard rush it's easier, relatively, when you have a field that's cut in half because your defense has given you the ball back after stopping Pittsburgh on a three and out. Now, the Steelers aren't on the board until the opening drive of the third quarter, but man, it was in dramatic fashion.
Jaylen Warren, the lone setback, gets the toss to the right. Warren turns it upfield, finds a gap, up over the 30, the 35, 40, hits a foot race to the 50, 40, 35, still on his feet at the 20, 15, 10, Jaylen Warren, 74 yards, touchdown.
Get out of town. That is one of the greatest runs we've ever seen in the history of the Steelers-Browns rivalry.
Whoa.
Get zooks, man, that is just a little pitch to the outside. You got Broderick Jones leading the way. Mason Cole got a key block, but he got wang dang doodle down the sidelines.
There's so much there from Craig Wolfley. I'm not even sure what's the most impressive part. The gadzooks, the whatever little ditty he said there at the end.
But he got wang dang doodled down the sidelines.
Right, wang dang doodled down the sidelines. The fact that he uses a bit of hyperbole, Jaylen Warren's run being one of the greatest we've ever seen in the history of the Browns-Steelers rivalry, which I suppose could be true because I've not seen them all. He's seen more of them than I have. But a 74-yard rushing TD from Jaylen, and that's Bill Hillgrove along with Craig.
Get out of town!
Wang dang doodled. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Pittsburgh offense, in large part because of that long rushing TD, had nearly 175 yards rushing. Do you remember at the beginning of the year when they couldn't find their run game to save their lives? It was something that Mike Tomlin kept lamenting. But finally, they're able to establish the run, which is helpful. Najee Harris, still not feeling it, still frustrated. You'll hear from him after the game, right? Yes, okay. I need that number. Anyway, so Pittsburgh is able to establish the ground game, but still, it was a game in which there weren't a lot of touchdowns because the defense would rise to the occasion and wouldn't allow getting close enough for either field goals or into the end zone. So about, let's see, mid-fourth quarter, we see Pittsburgh go on a 62-yard march. It consumes 7 minutes. And they're able to kick a field goal. So middle of the fourth quarter, they kick a field goal to tie the game at 10. Yep, I know. Middle of fourth quarter, the game's tied at 10. Cleveland has its last chance with a minute 18 left on the clock. Now, you remember last week, Deshaun Watson led them on a late drive. And they were able to win last week in dramatic fashion. But this is not Deshaun Watson. This is not PJ Walker. And it's not the defense. Instead, it's Dorian Thompson-Robinson, but he goes 4-for-4 on this drive to get them into field goal range.
Hewlett ready to put the ball back. Waiting. Snaps it back. Ball down. Hopkins into it. Flag down. Kick is up, and the kick is good! With 2 seconds left, there's a flag down. It looks like the Steelers were offside. 2 seconds left, and Dustin Hopkins puts the Browns ahead 13-10.
Offside.
You bet.
Defense.
Listen to Browns Stadium. 13-10. The Browns take the lead with 2 seconds left to go. What a moment.
Welcome back, Jim Donovan, baby. They weren't going to make it easy on you, but the Browns have done it, getting to 7-3. Wow, what a finish. And how about DTR? He was going to have to make throws, and make throws he did.
Yes. Congratulations again to Jim Donovan. He comes back for a doozy, and DTR goes 4-for-4 in the final drive to put the Browns into field goal range. A 34-yarder for Dustin Hopkins as time expires. Now, his numbers weren't terrific. They weren't eye-popping. We're not talking Brock Purdy passer perfection here. We're talking about a middling type of offensive game, but a win is a win is a win is a win. And what if I told you the Cleveland Browns have won 5 of their last 6. They're also one of the hottest teams in the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Kevin Stefanski points to the defense for setting the tone. Miles Garrett, by the way, another 2 sacks and 3 QB hits.
They did set the tone. Again, just relentless in our pass rush, relentless getting to the runner. Again, there's things that we can correct. We know that, and we will. But relentless group.
We're as tough as it gets. We're going to be resilient down the stretch. We're going to be consistent. We're going to keep on fighting. Doesn't matter what happens throughout the game. You know, you're going to get the very best out of us for 60 minutes or more, depending on what happens.
Consistency, you know, they're a great defense. Hats off to them first, but, you know, we didn't play and I didn't play nearly as well enough.
What has to happen? What's missing?
That's a great question. We have to get in and find out.
Kenny Pickett doesn't really have a ton of answers, and neither did Najee Harris. He was frustrated by the struggles of the offense. We'll hear from him momentarily, but back to the offense for the Browns. Run by a rookie quarterback. What was the difference for Dorian Thompson-Robinson in week 11 versus week number 4?
They believed in me. They trusted in me. I trusted my teammates. The biggest thing I was telling myself all game was just stay disciplined, take it one play at a time. There's times in that game where, you know, if it was week 4, I would have forced it. We had a tip pick, another tip pick, or whatever it was. You know, I said, it's going to be night and day when I get out there. I've been working my tail off, and I'm just glad my teammates were there with me.
Yeah, impressive. Because of the poise, because of the confidence. And I like how Stefanski said after the game, he doesn't lack in confidence. And didn't mean that to be a joke or snarky, just, hey, he's got a built-in confidence. And that's what you have to have a lot of times to be a backup anything in pro sports, but specifically a backup quarterback who can be pressed into service. And we talked to Mary Kay Cabot last, I guess it was Thursday night into Friday morning. And what she said was the rookie wasn't ready. He wasn't ready. He didn't know the playbook well enough. He wasn't prepared or equipped when his number was called unexpectedly right before their week 4 game. And yet they have seen him make up for that. They've seen him double his efforts to be ready. She talked about how even after he meets the media, he goes and he sits right back at his locker and he starts studying the playbook again. So he was committed to not allowing the moment to be too big for him if his number was called. And yeah, to see the way that he operated in week 4 versus week 11, the Browns just need a guy who could not turn the ball over. He had the one interception, but right now the defense and the run game, they will set the tone. This rookie just needs to go with the play and go with the game plan and go with the program.
I'm already focused on next week. I'm focused on going to Denver. But yeah, man, I'm super happy. Glad that I can get this one for my teammates. And actually, you know, go out there, like I said, get the reps at practice, make the mistakes throughout the week. And so that way those mistakes don't come up on Sunday.
Yeah, don't look now, but the Browns have moved to 7-3 on the season. They've got 3 consecutive wins, 5 of their last 6, and they are just 1 win behind the Ravens in the AFC North. Same number of losses. And remember, they beat Baltimore going back to last week. The Ravens have yet to take their bye, which is why they've got a game in hand still, but the Browns are right there. They've got the same record as the Miami Dolphins, as the Jacksonville Jaguars, same number of wins as the Kansas City Chiefs. And while the Steelers are still very much in play, these are a couple of disappointing offensive weeks for them, right? So they've made a killing with games decided by a single score. And with Kenny Pickett and with Mike Tomlin, they certainly have come out on the winning end of many of these games in which they're decided by under 8 points, a field goal. But it's a tough way to live. Every now and then, it's going to go the other way. And this was in their division. Again, missed opportunities against the Cleveland defense.
They were going to do some things to minimize his exposure to our defensive unit. They weren't going to take a lot of risk, and so we had to get stops the traditional way. And so it was a lot of those things. We just came up a play or two short against a great defense in their venue. You're not going to drive the ball, 15-play drives and things like that. You need some chunks to comprise those scoring drives, and we knew that. We worked toward that. We just didn't connect on enough of them.
So Mike Tomlin, at the end there, talks about their missed opportunities. At the beginning, he talks about how the Browns really protected Dorian as a rookie from what the defense does well. Najee Harris, he's pretty frustrated with the lack of forward momentum for the Steelers offense.
You can do two things. You can look at the record and say, okay, we're still good right now. But look at the record and be like, if we keep playing this type of football, how long is that last?
Right.
I look at it like, how long that lasts? Y'all can look at it like it's a good record, but I mean, it's the NFL. It's winning like how we did. It's not gonna get us nowhere. So yes, we got a good record.
So he points to the record. It's kind of some banging around with the locker room. He points to the record, but at the same time, it's constantly a struggle. And you can't always expect to win the games where it's so tight and there's so little margin for error. He says you could do two things. You could look at the record and say, okay, we're still good right now. Or, as he then expresses himself, you can say, if we keep playing this type of football, how long is that bleep going to last? Winning how we did is not going to get us nowhere. He does go on to say it's fixable. He does point out that all is not lost, and he takes responsibility. Says, I couldn't get things going. But yeah, you live on the edge. Eventually, you're going to fall off the fence on the wrong side. And against the Browns, that's what happened. Now, Mike Tomlin's teams generally do operate in that realm where they have very little margin for error. Most of the time, they come out on top, but not in this week, not in this contest, because the Browns are also comfortable operating in that space. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, too, I will share the latest penny photo when I have an opportunity, but we're working our way through week 11 in the NFL. Love to hear from you on social. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. Coming up, it wasn't a gaudy offensive performance by the Miami Dolphins, but they had to face a game Raiders team in its third battle under Antonio Pierce. So we'll stay in the AFC. We'll talk about some of these contenders, even as we look toward Monday Night Football when the Chiefs will be back in action at Arrowhead Stadium. Good morning to you. If you're waking up on Monday, ouch. If you're still awake on your Sunday night and extending the weekend, well, you're in that same space that we are. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Most at the running back. Trips to the right. Wilson in motion. Back to throw. Looking downfield. A great catch by Hill. Pitch and tackle. Touchdown, Miami. Dolphins.
First and 10. O'Connell's going to pass. Settle. Taking a shot. Deep down the field for Adams. And he catches it at the 5 in stride. Walks in. Touchdown, Raiders. With 1 second left in the first quarter clock, Aiden O'Connell releases a bomb. And the Raiders go up 9-7 on Devontae's first touchdown since week 3.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
It was definitely a slower start for the Miami Dolphins hosting Antonio Pierce. Aiden O'Connell, Davante Adams, and the Las Vegas Raiders. And you hear the Tyreek Hill touchdown in the first quarter. Well, otherwise, it was more heavy for the Raiders. In fact, they had the 10-7 lead at the end of that first quarter. A pair of first-half Miami fumbles actually led to a couple Raiders field goals. But the spark is always available. Tua to Tyreek. That is a spark. It's a jump start, if you will. And he gets that touchdown in the first quarter to kind of find their rhythm. And then early in the second quarter, able to tack on more points.
Third down and 10 from the 11-yard line of the Raiders. Blitz coming. Gets it off. He's got Achmed. Touchdown, Miami.
What a great looking call. Looking out wide. Comes back. Achmed sneaks out. Gets back inside, and he is wide open. Well, the Raiders were fooled on that one.
Well, the Raiders decided to send a lot of people, and Tyreek made him pay for it.
On the Dolphins radio network, and before that, Jason Horowitz on Raiders radio. Yeah, Achmed, a running back, able to turn that into a nice touchdown, which ultimately put the Dolphins ahead 14-10, and there were no more touchdowns. Not what you would expect with the Miami Dolphins, that their defense would have to clamp down, but they needed their defense because they only had a pair of field goals in the second half. The defense, though, picking off Aiden O'Connell three times, six total turnovers in this game. So that's why it was a much lower scoring affair where a bunch of stops and starts and kind of pivot and go back the other direction. Miami had a ton of yards. They were over 400 yards, but could not capitalize on the opportunities to score, put the points on the board, and turnover is a big reason why. We don't have the play-by-play, but if you have not seen the second Jalen Ramsey interception at the end of this game, he's in the end zone. He's leaping up and to his left and stretching out full tilt. He's definitely done some yoga. And he picks off Aiden O'Connell to really seal this one in the fourth quarter. And that's taking place in the end zone. So do yourself a favor and watch that Jalen Ramsey highlight because defense wins championships, even for the Dolphins. So, yeah, they don't get a ton of offense, but the defense is game. And you can say that this one was more about the defense being able to frustrate and limit the Raiders. It is a team game, though. The Dolphins move to 7-3 in this one. And while it's not typical of them, it's good for them to protect the home field now 5-0 in Miami.
You don't expect to score 30 every time. I think I think our crew will feel as though they had the ability to for this game. But, you know, hats off to the Raiders team in general. That's a 5-1 team that played as hard as anybody here at Hard Rock.
Needless to say, our defense was able to will us through that game and help us win that game. We need to be better in the second half offensively.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to win games often when you only have 6 points in the second half, except their defense was dynamic. Sometimes we talk about the Super Bowl champion Chiefs and say, hey, their defense is overlooked. Their defense is undervalued and underappreciated. And that is so true. And obviously, the defense is not going to get the same amount of attention as does the offense with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and some of the other dynamic and terrific formations from Andy Reid. But what we know about that defense is it's full of veterans. And Jalen Ramsey, a veteran in this one. In fact, Tyreek Hill was even paying homage. The guys on the offensive side of the ball were saying, yeah, that second Jalen Ramsey pick in the end zone in the fourth quarter, in which he's stretching out and leaping to his left to make the grab, that was one of the best plays of the year, according to the offense.
My teammates and coaches pushing me extremely hard, training staff as well, weight room staff as well, pushing me extremely hard to be the best version of myself. And so I just get out there on the field and I just try to prove all of them right.
Oh, yeah. It was really impressive. So there are a lot of highlight reel moments every week in the NFL. I definitely agree that Jalen Ramsey's second pick is one of them. Like the Courtland Sutton touchdown to end the Broncos offense on Sunday night and to go ahead of the Vikings and allow the defense to protect that one. Trying to think of some of the others that were highlight reel moments as we go through it. Oh, goodness, we're going to get to the Buffalo Bills next. They had a couple of moments that were worth writing home about. The Niners offense, too. How about Trevor Lawrence? So, again, we'll stick in the AFC because there's plenty to talk about in the conference that is going to be a buzzsaw through these next 6 weeks as you've got so many teams that are in position. Should something break for them? Should they put together 3-4 wins? We could say that about Denver, right? Four wins in a row. They went from 1-5 to 5-5, and now they're right there. And that is a product or a byproduct of the NFL having so many teams that are on the same plane. In part because we've seen so many starting quarterbacks go down. That's not the only reason. But it is part of the reason why you don't have a lot of breakaway teams. Even when in a single week, Miami can put up 70 points. You know, you're not going to see that from week to week. And then consider the number of teams that are dealing with backup QBs or young QBs, and it means games are won ugly. And that's how teams that are not as talented do it. They try to drag down their opponents, muddy up the game with defense and special teams and also ball control. And it's working around the NFL. The Dolphins are 7-3. The Browns are 7-3. The Ravens are 8-3. The Jaguars are 7-3. The Chiefs will have a chance to move to 8-2. But if the Eagles get the victory on Monday night, then we will have a new leader in the AFC. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. I love seeing all the reasons that you have to be thankful this Thanksgiving week. I'll try to get that picture of my sweet and stubborn 14-year-old dog. Oh my gosh, she's crazy. On our Facebook page, and we have a chance, but we are chugging through. So we'll get to Bills and, Bills and Jaguars next while we talk about the top of the AFC. And Jay tells me the photo is up on Facebook. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Shotgun formation for Trevor. He drops four-man rush. Fires left corner to the end zone. That ball is going to be caught for the touchdown in the left corner of the end zone, Calvin Ridley. Touchdown, Jacksonville. First down at the 20-yard line of Tennessee. Under center is Trevor. Play fake again. Trevor avoids trouble. Close to the corner of the end zone. That ball is going to be caught. That is a touchdown to Calvin Ridley. 20-yard touchdown pass from Trevor Lawrence to Calvin Ridley has extended the lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Welcome back, Calvin Ridley. Feels like it's been a while. Welcome back to the Jaguars offense. Huge bounce back day for Trevor Lawrence with four total touchdowns. He goes 262 yards through the air. He also has a couple touchdowns on the ground. You hear the calls there on the Jaguars radio network. So yeah, after getting shellacked by the San Francisco 49ers and managing just a single field goal in week 10, the Jaguars are back.
I thought it was great. You know, that's one of the cleaner games offensively we've played. Really complimentary offensively, defensively, special teams. Seemed like we stayed on schedule. Seemed like we kept them on their heels. We did a great job mixing up all the different, you know, shots, getting it out quick, running the ball, movements, all that. I mean, it was really good.
It just goes to show the resiliency of our football team. We've only been together a short while, but this is a resilient group, you know. They always seem to work themselves back and fight their way back, you know, when they have a setback, and they've done it.
As for the Tennessee Titans, it is the opposite end of the spectrum. And I would say they feel like the Jaguars felt last week, except it's worse, because the Jags are 7-3, while the Titans are 3-7, And for the second consecutive year, last year they started out to protect their AFC South title and then fell off a cliff in the second half of the year. Now, again, scuffling at quarterback with Will Levis having a fantastic debut of 4 touchdowns, it's not been quite as easy since then. And he's played okay. Derrick Henry, though, is getting stuffed at the line. Teams are determined not to allow Derrick Henry to run wild. So like the beginning of the season, the Titans weren't unable to establish a run against the Jaguars. And once they got behind, that was kind of out the window. But yeah, you can hear there's a ton of frustration from the Titans locker room.
It's not good enough. Not playing good enough as a team. Definitely not playing good enough on offense. All of us individually not good enough to win. I think it showed these last 2 weeks.
Damn right, it's frustrating. It's frustrating. Losing is frustrating. The same thing is frustrating. I'm tired of saying, or we tired of saying, I'm tired of hearing it. We got to figure it out. We didn't do enough. When are we going to do enough to win? This all. Second division game. I had a lot of confidence. Like I said, coming into this game, we only had played one division game. We still had division was still, and I think it's still in front of us at 3-7. And I don't know, man. I want to say we got figured out, but tired of saying we got figured out. It's time to actually go out there and win a game. And I don't know what need to happen. Like I said. Defense, I mean, we on the field, man, I don't know. We tired of saying the same thing, man. I don't know.
Jeffrey Simmons, defensive lineman, at a loss. And before that, Derrick Henry expressing a ton of frustration. They've lost 5 of 6 games, and they're 0-4 on the road. So they have not yet won a game away from home this season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Jacksonville, though, after early stumbles and the game against the Niners, able to find that groove again. So that's a sign of a strong team, a team that has the ability to leave the past in the past, meaning you get walloped 1 week. Well, you move on and you figure it out and you don't drag it with you forward into the second week. You don't press. You're not feeling the pressure. Instead, you've got good leadership that reminds you that it's 1 week and you can erase all of that with a victory or with a much better performance the following week.
No matter what happens, that's your response. Good.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Producer Jay has put up our Monday MVP poll, so you can find that on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and he did include one member of the Jaguars offense. I'll let you check it out. Some names that you're not likely to see there week to week. Well, one of them maybe, but the others not quite as much. Speaking of a team that needed a bounce back, that would be the Buffalo Bills. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. But against the New York Jets, you knew that there would be a lot of scuffling. Why? Well, because it's a defense that has continued to keep the Jets' offense relevant. And yeah, this was a game that had a turning point late in the second quarter where Zach Wilson gets picked off by Rasul Douglas, and it's almost instant Buffalo red zone.
Allen looking to his right, flicks it out to James Cook, who's in for the touchdown, a 5-yard touchdown pass from Allen to Cook, and the Cook is in the kitchen.
Ha ha, Chris Brown with the call on the Buffalo Bills radio network. Now, Zach Wilson and the Jets do respond after giving up that touchdown and falling behind 16-0. Wilson directs an 84-yard touchdown drive. It does include a fake punt when he's not the one throwing the pass. That's Thomas Morstead who throws the fourth down pass. But he does connect with Breece Hall on a fourth down conversion. So twice the Jets extend the drive with fourth down conversions. And for the Jets to get in the end zone is huge, right? It's a massive deal because they had played 9 games and had 8 touchdowns to this point. So finally, they get into the end zone again when Hall catches a 9-yard score and they're on the board. But Buffalo starts out the second half hot to trot and never looks back.
And Shakir in motion. They fake the handoff. Allen rolls right, completes it to Ty Johnson, the right flat, to the 20, 15, 10, 5, tiptoeing his way to the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo! A 28-yard catch and run on 4th-and-1 by Ty Johnson. Three-man rush. Jets drop an 8. And the pass is complete to Shakir. Gets away from the tackler to the 40. 35-30. Doubles back to the 20. Still loose. He's going all the way for the touchdown.
It was fun. It felt fun to operate the way we were doing playing tonight. And my 17 was the head honcho of all that. So appreciate him.
Every season, man, like, has its ups and downs. You're going to have adversity. It's how you bounce back from the adversity. And sometimes it takes a spark like this to ignite your team.
Josh Allen will take him however he can get him, and the Bills are back above 500. They're now 6-5, so hanging around right there in the middle of the AFC like a lot of other teams, but Josh proud of their grit. 20 of 32, 275 yards. He has 3 touchdowns, does throw a pick, but Khalil Shakir says that 17 was in charge of all of it, and that was definitely the case for Josh today. Now, Sean McDermott, you remember, fired his offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey, last week, so this was the first game under the new OC, Joe Brady.
Joe picked up where we needed him to right away. You know, when we made the switch, there was no hesitation. He went right to the offensive staff. The offensive staff really came together and collaborated in a team way, in an effective way. And, you know, I saw a healthy dose of leadership from Joe.
Well, that's good news because the Bills need that. They need to be able to find some forward momentum offensively and stick with it. The defense is doing absolutely everything it can. They're led by some great veterans, and I know they've lost some major pieces, but I do love the veteran presence and the experienced players on the defensive side of the ball. And Sean McDermott, you know, he's in charge of that defense. And so on offense, he wanted to see a spark. He wanted to see some type of an established rhythm. He just said they needed a change, and this was a good step against a game Jets defense. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Is your inbox overflowing with Black Friday deals? The deal you won't want to miss is Blinds.com's biggest event all year. Save up to 50% site-wide at the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. For over 25 years, Blinds.com has provided a better way to buy window treatments. 100% online, so there's no showroom markups or waiting hours to get a quote from pushy salespeople. And you'll always rest easy with Blinds.com's upfront pricing. From premium shades, blinds, shutters, and more, DIY, or let us handle measure and installation for you. Plus, get a free consultation with our Blinds.com design experts, always ready to help you make the perfect selection. They'll even ship free samples right to your door. No matter how many windows you have, installation is one low cost, and every purchase is backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Black Friday sale now. Get up to 50% off site-wide, plus doorbusters. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ew, gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.